Praise the Lord. You're wondering why I had that. Again, it bids the trembling heart with tears. I had a text on Thursday, was it? Can I preach on Sunday night? Yeah. And I waited a bit. I said, Lord, what should I preach on? A little voice says, those scribbly notes you've got where you don't know where they are. I'd wrote some notes down on a verse. And if ever I'm going to preach, it happened again in July last year. The phone went and they asked me to speak at the breakfast time service, 10 minutes. That's 50 minutes in a week. And I said yes, and I put the phone down. And I said, Lord, what I'm going to speak, those notes you've just written down. And I did. But I want to turn you to a verse, two verses in Psalms. Psalm 56. You know, the Spirit of God is heavy in here. It's like fresh dew. The presence of God is here this morning, this evening. And I believe as I read these verses and minister, God just touched my lips with holy fire. I might meet needs tonight. I'm not here to proclamation myself. I'm here to glorify God. Verse 8. You have numbered my wanderings and put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? When I cried out to you, then my enemies will turn their back. This I know, because God is for me. Psalm 30, verse 5. For his anger, his butt for a moment. Hallelujah, I love this. But his favor is for life. The grace of God and the favor of God is not just for a moment, it's for life. It's for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Tears speak far more than 1,000 words. When tears are shed for the suffering, for those that have lost loved ones, they speak more than 1,000 years. Words, and he said, yes. He has put the bottle and he holds them under the eyelid, under our eyes, and he catches the tears that he might remember you and me tonight. Those heartaches, those sorrows, those tears that have drip down your face, and they burnt the salt in them, have burnt the very face, your cheeks. But there's something wonderful. I can't write notes, only in my own bedroom. But God's got a little notebook, and he writes them down. He takes the tears, and he counts them, and he writes them down in his notebook. For his anger is but for a moment, but his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Moses, we've heard a lot about the burning bush. Moses at the burning bush The bush could have still been burning, but it was the voice that attracted him. The voice of God. And what did God say? He said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry. I have heard their cry. In bondage, in slavery, being whipped and tortured, hard labor, children being put to death because they thought that the children of Israel would grow so much they would be overtaken by the Hebrew children. I have heard their cry. And because of their taskmasters and full, I know their sorrow. See, what did I say? Tears speak more than a thousand words. The cries of the people of the Hebrew children have met the heart of God. And there in the burning bush, the voice says, I'm sending you, Moses. And you're going to let my people go. Seven times he said that to Pharaoh. Let my people go. But God had heard their cry. Listen to his promises. I have come down. I'm there already in the midst. I'm there in the midst of the sorrows. I'm there in the midst where the enemy is pointing the finger. I'm there in the midst. Listen. And I will deliver them. Oh, hallelujah. And he just doesn't leave it there. See, being delivered sets us free into an open door of blessing with God. And then I'll say it again, and I know people won't like me saying, it's a despite to the cross of Calvary that we still live in the past of our own bondage. When Jesus cried, it is finished, he set the captive free. I will place them in a place, in a country, in a canyon where there's milk and honey and it'll be flowing. There'll be a rich blessing. Oh, hallelujah. I have heard the cry. He's heard your cry tonight. And he's come down to deliver and set you free. The old enemy, the taskmaster, says, you've done this, you've done that, you've done the other, but you haven't done this and you haven't done that. You've listened to much of the enemy. But God says, I've come down to deliver you. God's notebook had been opened. He'd seen the tears. And the Red Sea was going to be opened. He'll open doors when men shut them. If God wants you to go through a door, God will open it. I was talking to the Jehovah's Witnesses. They don't believe in hell. Sadly, after I left, I thought of the five foolish and the five wise, you know. He says, you've done this in my name, done that. Then he shut the door in the face. God's notebook was open. Their joy was about to dawn. The tears of anguish. God saw and understood the tears of failure. He will gather, put them in his notebook. And where you failed, he'll still be faithful. He'll still be with you. He'll open up the Red Sea, and you'll go across. And whenever I read that there, I see Miriam dancing with the timbrel. Oh, hallelujah. You know, God's not a God of reality. God is one that's not in army uniform. God is in something that's more richer in fullness and blessing and freedom that we've ever never touched. And Miriam danced. Oh, Lord, give us the dancing shoes in our hearts. What about David? I learned something. You know, Saul never chased after the ark, not once. But he chased after David to destroy the anointing. They come to Ziklag. Psalm 30, verse 4. And the people, they'd lost their wives. They'd lost their food. They'd lost everything. The enemy had come in and the city was on fire. It burned with fire. And it says, and they cried exceedingly until there was no strength in them. And they were almost ready to stone David. And how many times we blame God. This has happened, that's happened, we've been done that, we've done that. But it says, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. In my version it says, and David strengthened himself in the Lord. And I tell you, if you're the only one that can strengthen yourself in the Lord, you'll strengthen others. Because that's what happened here. It doesn't say that. But as I read through it, I read that that David strengthened the others. They're no longer ready to stone him. And David inquired of the Lord. And he says, shall I go up? The Lord says, yes. Shall I recover all? The Lord said, yes. And he went up. He overtook the enemy. And he recovered all. You can recover all. The tears that they cried out. They'd lost everything. They'd lost everything. And almost they were throwing it all back on David. And we throw it all back on God sometimes. Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? And they were crying out. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. And it says at the end of that chapter, and David recovered all. Tonight, God sees your tears. He's put them in a bottle. He's noted them down. And he's put them underneath it. You will recover all. You will. Recover all. Hallelujah. They'd lost. They blamed. They were in anguish. They was in distress. But thanks be unto God. He's here for you and I to recover all. You know, we're singing something tonight. My testimony came to me. One verse. And this is what God did to these. One verse in 1 Peter 5. You are kept by the power of God. And nothing can pluck you out of my hands. That was the song. Man's schemes. The devil's schemes. Will try to rob you and grab you out of what God has given you, your wonderful salvation. And Peter writes, you are kept by the power of God. Oh, what a savior. David strengthened himself. David inquired of the Lord. What about, you know, Jesus wept. John 11. At the tomb of Lazarus. I think it's twice he said, weep no more. He wept at the tomb of Lazarus. And I do not believe, yes, it was just because he was a friend. He realized what sin had done. He wept and groaned because he saw that man wanted to be delivered from the power of death and of sin. He's seeing what the fall of man and the enemy had done in the garden. He's seen as though in his spirit, and it says he groaned and he wept. And when he wept, I realized and I feel he had the vision of Calvary in his spirit, and he knew he was going to win the victory. For the sting of death is all. That little woman, that Nain, in anguish, oh, there was a crowd following her, and there the tears were streaming down her face. There was the coffin of her son. She'd lost her husband, and now she'd lost her son. She'd lost her security. She'd lost everything that was abiding in her son. She'd lost it. Jesus came along. He says, weep not. Weep not. Weep not. The night may be long, sister. Death may be in the coffin. It says, and Jesus touched the coffin and said, arise. And the young man rose and spoke. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. When the Lord saw, he moved with compassion. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my cries. Do not be silent at my tears. Had that woman cried and cried, just as the children of Israel had cried, just as the people of David had cried, God heard the cries and put them in a bottle and noted them down. You may be wondering where I got this message from. Can you remember Elizabeth having all them pots? On, she spoke on pots. The last one she got out was a little tear bottle. And I remembered that. He has put all my tears in a tear bottle. A little cup-like, put it under the eye. And a loved one would go to another friend to love that was a sick in need. And he'd catch the tears. And he'd go home and remind him of her. Of those tears of pain and anguish and sickness. And he would pray for them. He would note them down. And he would care. There's no friend like the friend of Jesus. He catches our tears. What about Samuel and Anna's mother? Samuel's mother. What did Elkanah say to us? Say to Anna, why are you weeping? Why are you not eating? Oh, I failed. I can't bear children. And those around me, those are the women that you've got as wives, are provoking me, are pointing the finger at me because I can't bear a child. And it's creating in me a spirit of bitterness and hardness. And I'm weeping. I can't do anything. goes into the temple. I believe she was weeping there, but she was just marming. Oh God, see my tears. Catch him. Catch him. You know, sometimes it says, and God had closed up her womb. We can't have it all our own road sometimes. And when it's God's time, he will bring it to pass. And as she cried, God miraculously opened her womb, and she kept her promise. She put Samuel in the temple. And I want to tell you tonight, you want to read it all. I've only put one verse down. In 1 Samuel 2:1. But you want to read it all. What a tremendous hymn of praise. What a tremendous prayer of thanksgiving. Just in this. Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My strength, my testimony is in the Lord. I can smile. Oh, I like that. I can smile at my enemies. Those that have pointed the finger at me. Those that said, you're finished. You know God. You can't bear children. It's all over. And she cried. God catched the tears and answered her prayer. And she could smile at the enemy. And when I was reading this, I thought of being on a bus going from Jönköping to Stockholm. And we sang that song. What is it? When Jesus is in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. When Jesus is in, and when we used to sing it, and then we used to, when Jesus is in the vessel, we could stop there and smile at the storm. She could smile at the enemies. You know, it's just come to me. God's one day going to embarrass the enemies for you and me. He embarrassed the enemies for Anna. She could smile through it all. I never thought of that before. I rejoice in our salvation. You know, we've got too many silent Christians. You get to Old Trafford or the Kop End of Liverpool, they're not silent. And there's nothing like an atmosphere. I haven't been, but I know. When they sing, I'll never walk alone, you won't. It's time we took the silencers off and started praising the Lord. Because God inherits the praises of his people. And where the praises of the Lord is, that's where the Spirit of God, with the Word of God, can move by His Spirit through the gifts. And as people will worship the Lord, I believe they can be healed without being prayed for. Because the presence of God is more important than anything in our meetings. She rejoiced in your salvation. And I want to encourage you tonight. Take the shackles off. And learn to rejoice openly in the Lord. Paul did. I was learning something about Paul I'd never learnt before. You know, he was a highly intelligent man. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He got a better job than me. I never sat there. But he was always rejoicing in the Lord. And we need to learn again to rejoice in the Lord despite our circumstances, despite our problems. When we rejoice in the Lord with the Word of God, God can come down in his glory and glorious presence and meet the needs. too long as the church dried up. We need to learn to worship the Lord again for our salvation. The secret tears. I don't know whether I've ever told you, probably have. I was out walking one day, and walked round up the hill, what we call, well, they're called Charnwood Lodge, but I call it by its posh name, Clark's Rough. And one day I sat under a tree with my flask and my biscuits, and I started to pour my heart out. Secret tears. And suddenly, in front of me was a patch of heather. And suddenly, a bumblebee came along and settled on the heather, seeking out the nectar. And suddenly, the voice of God spoke to me through my tears. You keep drinking of the nectar of my spirit and my word, and I will bring you through. Nobody saw those tears, but God seen them. Secret tears that run down into our hearts. He sees them all, and he puts them in his notebook, and he writes them down. He catches them in his bottle. Like I say, often, I will seek the Lord. And somehow I will hear a voice and I will say to myself, that ain't right. That's me. And days after, things begin to unfold. Or I'm reading the Word of God and I don't seem as though I get anything out of it. I was reading something only a fortnight ago. I put my iPad on yesterday. Something said, look for this man. The time he'd finished preaching. I ain't going to tell you what he preached, because I want to borrow it, if I can, if the Lord allow me. I was crying, because I knew he was right. Tears, he sees them all. When you shut the door, nobody else sees you. And you're crying in anguish. You're crying in loneliness. You're crying in pain. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And this one has really catched my heart. The tears of devotion. Luke 7:44. Jesus goes to Simon's house and he says, you never gave me water to wash my feet. You never did this. You never did that. But this woman came and washed the Savior's feet and dried them with her hair and anointed his feet. She washed them. And she anointed them. There was such a rich devotion in her heart for what the Lord had done for her. She'd been forgiven. Jesus said to them that is forgiven much, they will do lots. But those that are forgiven, forget and do little. There's nothing in it. And in her devotion, she comes in behind the master. And she begins to weep with her tears. And she washes his feet. And as she dries them with her hair, that speaks to me that she was giving him all the glory and all the praise as she dried his feet with her hair. And then she anointed his feet with oil. Her tears glowed with the love for her Savior. Her tears glowed with thanksgiving, having the knowledge that she'd been forgiven all her sins. And she devoted herself in bowing down and washing his feet with her tears. And she anointed his feet with oil. And the word of God says to me in Romans 5 about the hope of God. But it's the love of God shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. You can have love, but you need the oil of the Spirit to make it rich. The tears glisten with devotion for a Savior. Tonight, brethren and sisters, learn to cry in devotion. Learn to cry with thanksgiving. Learn to cry with all of your heart. We sing it, oh, how I love Jesus. Do you really love him? You know, I look at the world. And I look at certain people in the world, and they've given their all to this and all to that, and they become famous and they become rich. And here we are. We have a wonderful Savior who's created and died upon the cross of Calvary that we might have a wonderful inheritance in him. And that's not when we get there. We've got it now. We've got it now. He's invested it in you and me through his power of his Holy Spirit and through his word. We have an inheritance, an unsearchable riches of God, it says in Ephesians. And how much do we glow with his love? He washed his feet with the tears, devotional tears, with thanksgiving, devotional tears of our precious Jesus. To them that believe, he is precious. Remember, our tears of love and devotion and worship to him. They're not tears. They're tears of thanksgiving. But I tell you what, there can be tears of joy unspeakable and full of glory. They that sow in tears shall reap with joy. Tears, you know, we can sow in the homeless sometimes, in tears. When you see a young mother that can't speak a word of English, and with a little child, and we have to give her clothes and blankets, we can't get hardened. It's tears of compassion. And we may sow in tears, but God will reap it for us. We can't do it ourselves. You know, the tears of intercession. It's 1 Kings 20. Hezekiah, Isaiah the prophet goes to him and says, Set your house in order. When I was reading this, set your house in order. You're going to die. It's all over for you. In my younger days, it was popular to have one of them problems boxes. My father-in-law used to say, if I pulled that out, I'd put it back and get another one. Set your house in order. You're going to die. Your sickness. And it says, and Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and he wept and he wept and he wept and he wept. And God heard his tears. He sent the prophet back. He says, you're going to live. You're not going to die. God's going to raise you up again. But he raised him up. And he had a son after that. He was one of the worst kings that Israel ever had. Work that one out, you theologians. But he interceded with his tears. He saw his tears. He catched his tears. And he turned his face to the wall. Tears of sorrow. Tears of failure. All the tears of life. When we don't know the answer to what has happened, he gathers all our tears and he takes them and he puts them in his notebook. I've got news for you this morning, this evening. I'm used to preaching in the morning. There is a new dawning. And a new day coming, and joy is coming in the morning. Hold on, my child. Joy comes in the morning that the God has come and he'll wipe away all your tears. The darkest hour will break with the new dawn, and God has not forgotten your smile. Child, he will smile with his promises. Behold, there is a new day, for I will make all things new. I have put all your tears in a bottle. I took note. Maybe the darkest day. I tell you, God's got a new day, and he'll beam his promises upon your life, upon your life, on everyone in this meeting. Your beam is promises, and the sun will shine again through the darkness. For there's a new day, and there's a new experience, and there's a new joy in the Lord.